Private credit floods AmPaul financing gap as traditional lenders shun carbon assets. Private credit just planted its flag in Australian energy. KKR has anchored a $400 million financing facility for AmPaul, the nation's largest fuel refiner and distributor, marking the most substantial deployment of non-bank capital into the country's petroleum infrastructure to date. The deal underscores a structural shift. As traditional lenders retreat from carbon-intensive assets, alternative credit providers are stepping in, repricing energy risk and extracting premium yields in a sector starved for flexible capital. The financing, structured as a private placement rather than syndicated bank debt, gives AmPaul access to growth capital without the covenant restrictions or ESG-driven pullbacks that have plagued energy borrowers in traditional credit markets. For KKR, the transaction represents a calculated bet that Australia's fuel infrastructure, despite decarbonization headwinds, remains essential to the economy's near-term functioning and offers asymmetric returns for patient capital willing to underwrite transition risk. The facility's terms were not publicly disclosed, but the quantum alone positions it as a reference transaction for private credit's energy thesis in the Asia-Pacific region. AmPaul operates more than 1,900 retail fuel sites across Australia and holds a roughly 30% share of the nation's refined product market. The company has been navigating a challenging pivot, maintaining its core petroleum distribution network while investing in low-carbon infrastructure, including EV charging and hydrogen. Traditional bank syndicates have grown increasingly reluctant to finance companies with significant fossil fuel exposure, creating a funding gap that private credit managers like KKR have moved to exploit. The financing is expected to support both capital expenditures and working capital flexibility as AmPaul manages this energy transition. Private credit fills the energy lending void the AmPaul transaction arrives as private credit managers are aggressively targeting infrastructure and industrial borrowers shut out of bank markets. Global private credit assets under management surpassed $2 trillion in 2025, with energy and infrastructure lending emerging as one of the fastest-growing subsectors. Traditional banks, constrained by Basel III capital requirements and mounting ESG pressures from shareholders, have reduced their exposure to carbon-intensive industries by an estimated 40% since 2020, according to industry data. That retreat has created a pricing dislocation. Energy borrowers now pay 300 to 500 basis points more than similarly rated credits in less politically sensitive sectors. KKR's infrastructure credit strategy, which manages over $20 billion in committed capital, has been particularly active in this space. The firm has deployed more than $8 billion into energy and utilities credits since 2023, targeting borrowers with strong cash generation but limited access to public bond markets. The strategy mirrors what KKR deployed in stressed retail during the pandemic years, when it provided rescue financing to portfolio companies and competitors alike. In that case, the firm earned double-digit returns by underwriting businesses that banks deemed untouchable, but that possessed real operating cash flow and tangible asset bases. AmPaul fits that profile. Despite secular pressure on fuel demand from electrification, Australia's geography and sparse population density ensure continued reliance on liquid fuels for freight and regional transport for at least another decade. The company generated $12 billion in operating cash flow in its most recent fiscal year, providing ample coverage for debt service even under stress scenarios. Its refinery assets, while older and less efficient than global peers, carry strategic value. Australia operates only two remaining refineries after a wave of closures in the 2010s, making AmPaul's Lytton facility near Brisbane a nationally significant asset. The Apollo playbook. Distress as distribution strategy KKR's move into energy infrastructure credit echoes a broader private equity strategy of exploiting sector dislocation to to build dominant positions. Apollo Global Management demonstrated this approach in consumer retail, where it leveraged the bankruptcies of Party City and Joann Fabrics to expand its Michaels Stores portfolio without acquiring the bankrupt estates directly. Instead, Apollo-backed Michaels built out Party supply sections and sewing materials offerings across its 1,400 locations, capturing market share as liquidation sales drove customer traffic towards surviving competitors. The parallel to energy is direct. As weaker refiners and distributors exit or consolidate, the survivors gain pricing power and market share. Private credit managers financing those survivors effectively own call options on industry rationalization. If fuel demand declines more slowly than forecast, or if competitors exit faster than expected, the surviving operators enjoy margin expansion that accrues to their lenders through tighter spreads and early refinancing opportunities. KKR's AMPOL financing positions it to benefit from both scenarios. The strategy also insulates private credit from the binary risks of direct equity ownership, where equity investors face permanent capital loss if decarbonization accelerates. Senior lenders maintain priority claims on cash flow and collateral. KKR's facility is likely secured by AMPOL's receivables, inventory, and potentially its terminal infrastructure, providing downside protection even in distressed scenarios. The trade-off is capped upside, but in a sector where equity multiples have compressed 60% since 2021, many institutional allocators prefer that risk-return profile. Semiconductor CapEx as counterpoint. When private credit says no, not every infrastructure bet attracts private credit enthusiasm. The semiconductor sector's accelerating capital expenditure cycle illustrates the limits of non-bank lending appetite. Taiwan's semiconductor manufacturing company pledged an additional $100 billion investment in its Arizona fabrication facilities in July 2026. Bringing its total U.S. commitment to $265 billion, the largest foreign direct investment in American history. Despite record quarterly revenue of $40 billion and net income of $22 billion, up 77% year-over-year, TSMC's shares fell more than 2% on the announcement as investors balked at the scale of capital deployment. The semiconductor sell-off, which dragged Nvidia down 2.4% and sent the Philadelphia Stock Exchange Semiconductor Index down 4.2%, reflects growing concern that AI compute demand projections are overheated. Private credit managers have largely avoided financing chip fabrication expansions, viewing the combination of technological obsolescence risk, geopolitical exposure, and binary demand scenarios as incompatible with credit underwriting standards. The contrast with energy infrastructure is stark. Refineries and fuel distribution networks face secular decline but predictable cash flow, while chip fabs promise growth but carry existential technology risk. The divergence highlights private credit's core competency, financing cash-generative assets in mature industries where equity investors have fled but operating fundamentals remain sound. Energy infrastructure, like the distressed retail Apollo exploited through Michaels, fits that template. Semiconductor fabs, despite their strategic importance, do not. The Plaquemium view the KKR AMPOL transaction is not a contrarian energy play. It is a structural credit play on market failure. Traditional banks cannot lend to carbon-intensive borrowers without triggering internal ESG thresholds and shareholder backlash, regardless of credit fundamentals. That creates a persistent supply-demand imbalance, where high-quality borrowers pay distress level spreads simply for operating in disfavored sectors. Private credit managers with flexible mandates and patient capital can harvest those spreads without taking equity-level risk. Three dynamics make this particularly compelling in 2026. First, the energy transition is moving slower than policy targets suggest, particularly in freight-dependent economies like Australia. AMPOL's fuel volumes will decline, but gradually, providing a long runway for debt amortization. Second, industry consolidation is accelerating as marginal players exit, improving the competitive position of survivors and reducing refinancing risk. Third, the regulatory environment is stabilizing. After years of uncertainty, Australia's carbon policy framework is largely locked in through 2035, removing a key source of credit volatility. The trade also offers optionality. If Ampol's low-carbon investments in EV charging and hydrogen gain traction, the company's credit profile improves and KKR refinances at tighter spreads. If those investments fail but core fuel distribution remains profitable, KKR still gets paid from existing cash flow. The downside scenario, where both fuel demand collapses and energy transition bets fail, requires a much faster decarbonization timeline than current policy or technology trajectories support. We expect to see more of these transactions. Energy infrastructure in developed markets, water utilities in emerging economies, and legacy telecommunications networks in rural regions all share the same profile. Essential assets generating predictable cash flow but trading at distressed valuations due to secular concerns. Private credit is uniquely positioned to finance these orphan sectors, and the returns justify the headline risk. The bottom line, KKR's $400 million Ampol financing is not about bullishness on fossil fuels. It is about exploiting the gap between credit fundamentals and market sentiment. As traditional lenders exit carbon-intensive sectors for political rather than financial reasons, private credit managers are stepping in to capture the resulting spread premium. The strategy works as long as cash flows remain stable and borrowers maintain sufficient collateral coverage, both of which hold true for Ampol and similar energy infrastructure operators. Institutional allocators seeking yield in a compressed spread environment should view energy infrastructure credit not as a thematic bet, but as a structural arbitrage. Financing assets the public markets have abandoned but cannot yet afford to shut down. That window may close as decarbonization accelerates, but in 2026, it remains wide open and attractively priced.